The following is a presentation of Remnant.
Hi, this is Jerry from Remnant. Let's be honest, this life can be hectic, draining, and downright confusing. My hope is that by listening to this message, your life can be impacted by God's great love for you, and His love will give you wisdom, courage, and strength. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to a message from Pastor Jerry Godsey.
Start off, when life gives you Limburger. Have any of you ever smelled Limburger cheese? All right, I'm going to give you a very apt description of it in a little bit. There's the quote that we've been using. Gratitude isn't just for the big moments. It's cultivated by noticing and appreciating the simple, cheesy blessings that fill our everyday lives. Our scripture for today is 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18. Always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Let's pray. God, thank you. I pray you'll open our hearts today, Father, because we all have Limburg cheese days. And God, I pray that you'll help us to gain some insight on how to get through those, how to not just survive them, Father, but thrive through them. Thanks, God. We ask it in your name. Amen.
What you're about to hear is a true story. The names have not been changed to protect the innocent or the guilty.
When I was at Southern California College, my quad, 5 Center West. Now, a quad was a group of 4 different dorm rooms, 2 guys per room, and then one at the top of the stairs, but we didn't really talk to him. He was just kind of up there. We were 5 Center West, and we shared like two toilets, and then a shower that was like a gang shower with 2 guys. Okay, so we got into this ongoing prank feud with some of the other quads. It started when they put squid in one of my quad mates' shampoo. And if you've never been awakened, if you never got up at 6:30 in the morning with some short guy, buck naked, dripping water, screaming, "I need your shampoo!" What? "I need your shampoo!" He left his shampoo in the shower. We told him not to because it was, you know, it gets in our way. But they put squid in it. They'd been out fishing the night before, some guys from another quad. They put squid in it, and he had little bits of squid on him. And so that's what started it. And then it progressed. We put a big carp in one of their showers, and put it on a fishing line. So the next morning, when they opened up the door, that big carp came swimming across the floor at him. And then we got this idea that we're gonna really go after some people. So we went after 3 quads in one night. Now here's what we did: we put Saran wrap on their toilet bowls, making little trampolines for their morning business. We put Icy Hot on their toilet seats. We filled their showers halfway up with styrofoam peanuts. We'd been collecting those for months. We didn't study a lot, but we planned a lot. And then, of course, now we put the stuff in our quad too to make it look like we were victimized as well. Now, we didn't put the ice on our toilet seats, and we're not going that far. But we had peanuts all around. And then the worst thing we did, we put Limburger cheese on their sinks. Now, if you've never smelled Limburger cheese, imagine eating something that smells like your socks after you've walked for 10 miles through cow patties into a swamp filled with raw sewage and rotten eggs. Do you need to hear that again? Your socks, I'm going to do it because it's fun. Your socks after you've walked 10 miles through cow patties into a swamp filled with raw sewage and rotten eggs. Now, if that's not evil enough, somebody got the idea to wrap Limburger cheese in baggies and duct tape it to their hot water faucet way up under the sink and then poke holes in it. So they cleaned up the cheese, and then for like a week, every time they turned on their hot water faucet to shave or something in the morning, the smell came back. It was glorious. Now, the sad thing about this all is that I had Limburger cheese on my hands, and for like 3 or 4 days, no matter how many times I washed my hands, I felt like I could still smell Limburger cheese. It's just nasty. You know, we all, this is where I transition to something spiritual now. Good luck. We all have Limburger cheese days, don't we? We have days that just stink. And I mean stink bad. And then when you turn the hot water faucet on, it stinks again. Now notice in the scripture we read earlier, be thankful in all circumstances. He doesn't say be thankful for all circumstances. That would be psychotic. Be thankful in all circumstances. Here's what that means. Not everything that happens is good, but God can be good to us in everything that happens. So whether you find yourself on the mountaintop or in the valley today, whether you find yourself struggling just to breathe, or today's a good day, just remember this. Not everything that happens is good, but God can be good to us in everything that happens. So how do we stay thankful when things go wrong? We're talking about giving thanks. All right, Jerry, but you don't understand. I lost my job. You know, I got a bunion. I got this face. I mean, you don't understand, Jerry. Things are not good. That's okay. Paul gives us a 3-part prescription for how to handle it when your life smells like Limburger cheese. First, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. These are not 3 separate tasks. They feed off of each other. You can't just rejoice without praying. You can't pray without rejoicing. And you can't give thanks. You sure can't give thanks until you've done those other 2. So let's dig into this. You ready? Number 1, always be thankful. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Oops. I've messed up my own notes. Let's go on. You look beyond the circumstances. That should be joyful. I'm sorry. Always be joyful. Oh, see? You know, I've been gone 4 years. Nothing's changed. I still mess up my own PowerPoints. And the worst part is, I reviewed this PowerPoint and still messed it up. Look beyond the circumstance. Now, always be joyful doesn't mean pretend everything is fine. You see that meme of that dog sitting in the flames? This is fine. This is fine. No, it doesn't mean that. Biblical joy is not denial. It's perspective. It's not being like one of those Christians that walks in, you know, they got the weight of the world on their shoulders, everything's going wrong in their life, and somebody asks them, how are you doing? Oh, I'm blessed. God bless you. I'm blessed. Hallelujah. Shut up. Be real. Now, yeah, I'm blessed, but there's stuff going on right now. It's okay to have stuff going on. It's okay for us to have the weight of the world on our shoulders sometimes. The difference is we can't stay there. Joy says, this is hard, but God's still here. This hurts, but this hurt doesn't have the final word. This is not good, but God is still good. When things go wrong, joy shifts our focus from what's happening to what God is doing within us. So be joyful. Now, joy doesn't come from the situation, it comes from our Savior. Here's a great example, Acts 16. A mob quickly formed against Paul and Silas, and city officials ordered them stripped and beaten with wooden rods. Now that doesn't sound like a good way to start the weekend. They beat them with baseball bats. Wooden rods. Ow, ow, ow. They were severely beaten, then they were thrown into prison. The jailer was ordered to make sure they didn't escape, so the jailer put them into the inner dungeon and clamped their feet in the stocks. Let's just be honest. This sucks. There's no nice way to put this. This situation sucks. They're in prison. They got beat up. Their feet are in stocks. And they start complaining about each other. They say, oh, you started this, Paul. No, Silas, you started. You wouldn't shut up. No, that's not what they did. Around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the other prisoners were listening. Now, I like to think I'm spiritual. But if you beat me up with rods and stuck my feet in prison and put my feet in stocks, I'm not sure that singing God is so good, I'm not sure that's number one on my hit list right now. You with me? I know, you guys are all perfect. No, Pastor Jerry, I would be singing praises as well. Hallelujah. Liars. Here's the thing. Their worship didn't reflect their surroundings, it reflected their hope. They're singing not because prison was pleasant, they're singing because God was present. You with me? Be thankful for all circumstances. Always be joyful. Why? Because no matter how deep a pit I'm in, God's there with me. And if God's there with me, I got a fighting chance. Second, pray without ceasing. Invite God into the pain. Verse 17, never stop praying. When life starts going wrong, our thoughts spiral. Okay, again, this is just me. I know you guys are perfect, and this doesn't happen to any of you. What if this never changes? Why is this happening to me? What am I going to do? We start with the worm talk, you know. Oh, shut up. Nobody cares. Paul says, transform these thoughts into prayer. Never stop praying. What does that mean? Never stop praying. Bring God every fear. Bring God every disappointment. Bring God every frustration. Bring God every tear. Take them to God. Instead of sitting there whining and worrying, oh, what am I going to do? Look, let's be honest. That's our first natural inclination. We're human. Stuff hurts, it hurts. But you've got to turn that into God. God, here's my pain. Here are my tears, God. Here's what's dragging me down. Continuous prayer is not about long speeches. It's about a constant connection. You know, you don't need to launch into those King James prayers. My most omnipotent Father, yea, that thou wouldst come to this time when I needest thou the most. And yea, verily, my life sucketh. Surely he stinketh. Yeah, my favorite scripture. The more we talk to God, the more we see God. See, our gratitude flows from our relationship. The more we see God, the easier it becomes to trust him. The more we trust him, the easier it becomes to thank him, even in the valley of life. Prayer doesn't always change the circumstance, but it always changes us in the circumstance. You with me? Look, Lord, take this away. Amen. Nothing's changed. It's been 30 seconds, God. What's going on? Why are you waiting so long? You know what? You ever stop to think that maybe God's teaching you a lesson, Sparky? You ever stop to think that maybe you're going through that to build you up for the next great thing that he wants to do through you? Be thankful in all circumstances. Remember what hasn't changed. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. The world can't do this. The people in your neighborhood that don't know Jesus They can't do this because they don't have the relationship with him. And I've seen Christians that take their relationship with God for granted, and then when everything goes wrong, now all of a sudden, well, I'm going to be holy now, God. Well, you don't have the relationship. You haven't built up that relationship with him. We're talking about being constantly with God. You don't do this when the stuff happens. You do this before the stuff happens so that you're ready to do it when it happens. And I said, Paul doesn't say give thanks for all circumstances. That wouldn't be healthy. I've got cancer. Oh, I'm so thankful I have cancer, God. What? No, but you can be thankful in circumstances because certain things are never going to change, okay? Here's what I'm going to tell you. Certain things about God never change. First of all, God is still with you. Even when people walk away, even when you feel alone, God is still with you. And you're looking at me like, okay. Trust me, this is a big point. Because we forget this right away. I'm all by myself, Lord. Well, then why are you talking to me? Why are you talking to God? He's with you or you wouldn't be talking to him. Like these knuckleheads, they put the cuffs on them. I can't breathe. Dude, you're talking. You can breathe. Secondly, God is still working. Even if you don't see progress, God is doing things you can't see. He's a God who brings beauty from ashes, strength from weakness, hope from despair. I love that. Beauty from ashes, strength from weakness, hope from despair. Isaiah 61:3. To all who mourn in Israel, he will give a crown of beauty for ashes, a joyous blessing instead of mourning, festive praise instead of despair. In their righteousness, they will be like great oaks that the Lord has planted for his own glory. I don't care how bad you think things are, God is still working. And just because you, in your great wisdom, can't see it all happening, doesn't mean it's not happening. My last name is Godsey. I've told you this before. My last name is Godsey, G-O-D-S-E-Y. There's a huge difference between God and Godsey. Those last three letters, man, everything falls off the cliff for those three letters. And I've told you before. I don't have any new things to say. I'm just going to keep saying the old things, and if you don't like it, who would I rather have in control of my life? God, the creator of the universe, or Godsey, the guy who got a D in geometry in high school? Okay. It's really not that hard a choice, is it? Next thing you need to remember, God is still good. Your circumstance may not be good. Your situation may not be good. Your pain is real. But God's goodness remains unchanged. And I would love to tell you that because I'm spiritual, I've come up with this. No, this is where I walked the last couple of years. This is how God has been bringing me back the last couple of years. Circumstance may not be good. Your situation may not be good. Your pain is real. Don't nobody tell you your pain's not real. What are you crying for? No, that's something you say to your kid. That's not something God says to us. Your pain is real. But God's goodness remains unchanged. Through all the stuff that I've gone through, God's goodness was still there. It got really hard to see it sometimes. But God's goodness was there. How do we know that? Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he was good yesterday, he's good today. And if he's good today, he'll be good tomorrow. See, you can't just say God is good in the good times and then in the bad times say, well, you know, he's not good anymore. He's the same. Yesterday, today, forever. James 1:17, Whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God our Father, who created all the lights in the heavens. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. This is the God we can put our faith in. Psalm 102:27. But you are always the same. You will live forever. And God is still in control. Your problems are not bigger than God's promises. Your setbacks are not stronger than God's sovereignty. Sovereignty. You know what that means? It means he calls the shots and we follow. When you cannot thank God for what's happening, you can still thank him for who he is. Lord, I'm not going to thank you for this really cruddy thing that's going on, but I am going to thank you that you're God and you're going to see me through it. So, let's be practical. Practical ways to be thankful when things go wrong. First of all, count what's left, not just what's lost. See, pain narrows our vision, but gratitude opens it up. If all you're focused on is the pain that you're seeing, the pain that you're feeling, you got tunnel vision. But when you're thankful to God, when you show gratitude, all of a sudden everything widens out. So don't just count the things that are lost. Count what's left. Yeah, okay, I lost this, but I still got all these other blessings of God. Don't get tunnel vision. Speak gratitude even when you don't feel it. The expression of thanks often leads to the experience of thanks. Lord, I thank you that you're going to see me through this. Now, am I through it yet? Nope. But that's my step of faith, to say to God, I believe you're going to see me through this. Follow? Some of you look at me like, what's wrong with this guy? We waited for this guy to come back? Speak gratitude even when you don't feel it. Oh, I missed one, didn't I? That's why you're looking at me like, that's not what it said, Jerry. And again, but this time, my notes are right. I just passed it. Remember his past faithfulness. If God was faithful before, he'll be faithful again. Now, speak gratitude even when you don't feel it. And look for God in the little things. Sometimes God hides big comfort in small mercies. Little things. I got to tell you, I got a little French bulldog, Winston. He's my buddy. And I got him because I was lonely. And he's the most stubborn dog I've ever owned. I love him, but there are days I want to just kill him and tell God he died. But I got him, and I was having a really rough day. And, stupid dog, he came up, he stood on the middle part of my recliner, and he put his face near my face, and he just breathed. And at first, it was hot and wet, and I went, kah. Then he crawled into my lap and curled up. Little things. Little things that mean a lot. Little mercies where God says, you know what? I still got you, Jerry. Next thing, God's will is not your pain, it's your praise. Hello? God's will is not your pain. Your praise. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. This is God's will for you. Be thankful in all circumstances. What does that mean? If I'm going to be thankful in all circumstances, this is God's will? Which means that, yeah, sometimes when I go through bad stuff, it's God's will for me to go through it so that I can grow. You ever seen a little spoiled brat in Walmart? Man, I want this. They lay on the ground and cry and scream. And you give me 5 minutes with that kid, I can fix that. Give him the right hand of fellowship. Listen here, Sparky. Sometime, if that little kid always gets everything he wants, he's always going to be a spoiled brat. And you can tell. You bring this huge, big toy to the mom. I want this, mom. No, you can't have it. But I want it. You ever stop to wonder if sometimes that's the way we sound to God? God, do this. Well, no, not right now. But I want it, God. I said, shut up, God. So you got a D in geometry. I prayed for years that I would get a Corvette. I weighed 430 pounds. I couldn't fit in a Corvette. I got a speeding ticket and a Hyundai XL. Now, granted, it was going downhill because there was no way I could get one going uphill on that thing. And God, in his infinite wisdom, knew two things. If I got a Corvette, I'd get stuck in it. And I would wrap it around a tree trunk somewhere because I was going to go fast and be stupid. So God says, you know what, Jerry? No. When your two-year-old asks if he can play with a butcher knife, well, honey, you know, mommy doesn't think that's a good idea, but I want it. Okay, baby, here you go. And from the rest of his life, they call him Lefty, you know, because. Trust God in the circumstances. God's will is not that you enjoy every circumstance, but that you trust him in every circumstance. Jerry, you can't have a Corvette. But why? Because you're stupid and you'll mess it up. You know, sometimes that's God's answer to us. Now, he's nice enough to dress it up. But sometimes we say, God, I want this. And God says, no. Why, God? Because you're stupid. Life is hard, then you die. You don't have to thank God for the broken pieces, but you can thank him that he's the one who heals, restores, and redeems. I love this. I don't have to thank God that the pieces of my life are broken, but I can certainly thank him that he's the one who puts them all back together again. Because I got to be honest, you know, we try to be real spiritual about it. Well, I know I'm going through a struggle because the Lord is, you know, the devil is after me. Let's be honest, sometimes we go through things because we did it ourselves. We just, remember the whole you're stupid thing? Yeah. Sometimes we go through things because we make bad choices. And we try to spiritualize it. Well, I know the Lord is testing me. No, the Lord's giving you, you're going through what you get for being dumb. Some of you guys haven't heard me preach before. This is the way I talk. Jeremiah's very nice and, you know, he's a lot smoother. No, you're stupid. See, that's just me. You don't have to thank God for the storm, but you can thank him that he's your shelter in it. I saw a painting years ago of these rocks, and they're all, you know, there's waves crashing all around them, and the title of the piece is Peace. The title of the painting is Peace. And I thought, I see a lot of things in that picture, but I don't see peace. So you look real closely, and there in the cleft of one of the rocks is a little bird. Waves aren't hitting him. Peace. Storm is raging all around him. He's got peace. God is our shelter in times of the storm. You don't have to thank God for the tears, but you can thank him that he promises joy in the morning. Said it before, gratitude is not the denial of reality. It's the declaration that God is greater than what's going wrong. Take a look at your life this morning. Anything going wrong? What are you going to do? You can go all the way through it and you can get better or you can get bitter. It's up to you. Yeah, life gave you Limburger cheese. Okay, deal with it. Take it to God. Give him your pain. Give him your tears. Be gracious. Be gratitude. Have gratitude for the things he's done for you. Work your way through it. That is how we're thankful in all circumstances. Amen? God, thanks. God, you are so good to us. And we're all going through something. Some of it's big, some of it's little, but God, you're in it all. Father, I pray that you would just come in like a flood. As we rejoice, as we pray, as we're thankful. Right now, whatever it is that is burdening you, that's holding you back, that's hurting you, that's causing tears, take it to God right now. God, here it is. I'm tired of trying to do it on my own. I'm tired of trying to be a good soldier when really all you want, God, is for me to give it to you and let you carry it, let you handle it. God, help me to be thankful in my circumstance. Thankful for all the things we've talked about today because you're good. You're in control. I love you, Father. God, thank you. Thank you so much. Do these things in our lives today, God. Let us see your hand at work in our lives. Thanks. Here's your homework. Your mission, should you decide to accept it. Actually, whether you accept it or not. Take your stuff to God. Quit whining. All right? Suck it up, buttercup. Get your chin off the ground. Take it to God and let him work in you. Let him carry the weight. There's freedom here. There's freedom. I love you. We'll be in the back if you need prayer. God bless you guys. Love you.
You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us online at remnantchurchiv.com. You built a mighty fortress.